Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here again today to take you through another portion of the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today's journey continues Occupations and Missions of Spirits, questions 567 to 576.
Enjoy.
Question 567. Do spirits sometimes meddle in our occupations and pleasures?
Commonplace spirits, as you call them, yes. They are unceasingly around you and at times take a very active part in all that you do, according to their nature. It is good that they do so in order to drive men and women forward in their different walks of life, exciting or moderating their passions.
Author's remarks for question 567. Spirits occupy themselves with the things of this world according to whether they are more evolved or less so. High-order spirits undoubtedly have the ability to consider them in minutest detail, but they only do so to the degree that it is useful to progress. Low-order spirits only attach an importance to such things in proportion to the remembrances that are still present in their memory, and to the material ideas that are not yet extinct. Question 568. Do spirits who have missions to fulfill do so while in the errant or incarnate state?
They may do so in either state. For certain errant spirits, it is a great occupation.
Question 569. What do the missions that may be entrusted to errant spirits entail?
They are so varied that it would be impossible to describe them. Besides, there are those that you would not be able to comprehend. Spirits fulfill the will of God, and you are not able to grasp all the divine designs.
Author's remarks for question 569. Spirits' missions always have the good as their purpose, whether as a spirit or as a human. They are in charge of helping the progress of humankind, nations, or individuals within a varying range of ideas that may be more specialized or less so in order to prepare the way for certain events and to oversee the accomplishment of certain things. Some have more restricted missions of a certain personal or entirely localized manner, such as helping the sick, the dying, and the afflicted, and as guides, watching over those who are under their protection and directing them with their counsels or the good thoughts they suggest. One could say that there are as many kinds of missions as there are kinds of interest to watch over, whether in the material realm or in the moral realm. A spirit advances according to how well it has performed its duties. Question 570. Do spirits always comprehend the designs that they are charged with executing?
No, there are those who are blind instruments, while others know fully well the purpose for which they act.
Question 571. Are advanced spirits the only ones who have missions to fulfill?
A mission's importance is in relation to the spirit's ability and elevation. The courier who carries a dispatch also fulfills a mission, though it is not that of a general.
Question 572. Is the mission of a spirit imposed on it, or does it depend on its will?
A spirit asks for it and is happy to receive it.
Subquestion 572. May the same mission be requested by several spirits?
Yes, there are always several candidates, but not all are accepted.
Question 573. What does the mission of incarnate spirits entail?
Instructing human beings, helping them to advance, and improving their institutions by direct and material means. Missions are of various degrees of generality and importance. However, the one who cultivates the soil fulfills a mission as surely as the one who rules or teaches. Everything in nature is linked together. At the same time in which a spirit is purifying itself through incarnation, it is also working to fulfill the designs of Providence. Each one has its mission in this world because each one can be useful for something.
Question 574. What could be the earthly mission of intentionally useless persons?
There really are persons who live only for themselves and who do not know how to make themselves useful for anything. There are poor beings whom we should pity because they will painfully expiate their intentional uselessness. And their chastisement frequently begins, even in this world, through weariness and dissatisfaction with life.
Sub-question 574. Since they had the right to choose, why did they prefer a life that could not be of any use to them?
Among spirits, there are lazy ones who recoil before a life of work. God allows them to do so. They will understand the inappropriateness of their uselessness later and at their own expense. And they will be the first to ask to make up for lost time. Also, they had perhaps chosen a more useful life to begin with, but once in action, they rejected it, allowing themselves to be misled by the suggestions of spirits who incite them to idleness.
Question 575. Common occupations would seem to be duties rather than missions per se. According to the idea normally associated with the word, a mission has a sense of importance that is less exclusive and especially less personal. From that point of view, how can we tell if persons have a real mission on earth?
By the great things they do and by the progress they enable their fellow beings to make.
Question 576. Are those who have an important mission predestined for it before their birth, and do they have knowledge of it?
Sometimes yes, but more often they are unaware of it. They only have a vague notion of it when they arrive on the earth. Their mission is traced out after their birth and according to circumstances as God drives them along the path on which they must fulfill the divine designs.